Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. You also have Adam Knox.
Hello, possums.
Hello, possums.
Yeah, yeah, that's my new catchphrase.
That's your new catchphrase.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of saying it a little bit higher than I did just then.
Okay, that's fair, because so it's someone else's old catchphrase, but it can just be your new catchphrase. Damon Everidge.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Previous guest on this show. What if we did an episode with Dame Edna where we talked about video games with her? That'd be pretty great.
I reckon she would probably do okay at that, and I'm just getting bored thinking about it, quite honestly.
Great. Also with us, the other third of the show, it's Ben Vanell.
I'm wearing a hat today.
Yes, nice. Doing a bit of the old Tommy Dasilo gear.
Yeah, except I have a full head of hair.
Oh, this is brutal already. It's almost as if we've all had a few beers before we've begun recording. And we have a guest joining us, second time on the show. You know him from Auntie Donna. Please welcome back onto the show, Mark Bonanno.
It's so good to be back. Thank you for having me. This is great. Are we having fun? Yes. There is here.
There's a lot of commotion going on in the introduction because your girlfriend is here in the room with us.
She
ordered Uber Eats to my house, which turned up in the middle of the introduction.
I know. It's so embarrassing.
I don't really want to talk about video games now. I just want to know. I want to know what's in this Uber Eats bag.
Food report.
Yes. Naomi, come sit down. Well, she ordered from her favorite burger. Is it? Would you say it's your favorite burger restaurant?
It's my favorite north of the river.
Mm? North of the River Burger Restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
Right. He's had a lot of burgers.
It's Onnit Burger, yeah?
Yeah, it's Onnit Burger.
Which there was a point where Onnit Burger was a bit of a staple of the pre-record of this show.
Yes.
Oh, really?
There was a few times where you got Onnit Burger.
I got way too tired after it once. Yeah. So stopped wanting to ever have it again.
But that was kind of all on you because I think you got like a thick shake and onion rings and stuff as well.
Look, let's not go into my personal life.
And it was when we all sat down to play No Man's Sky together for the first time. So it could have been you were just really bored by that game.
Yeah, like, there were a lot of things working against me that day.
Sean Murray stole your energy to do
He
podcasts.
Stole my burger. Took it out of my hand. I thought I was getting a good burger and he gave me a bad burger, but they fixed it later with tomato DLC.
Wow. Okay, so Mark, you were on the show at the very start of the year.
Was it this year that I did it?
I think I believe it was.
Might have been last year.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. I have no memory of things.
Cool, let's debate this for a bit longer. This is interesting.
If only there were a way to find out. Shame there isn't.
And since then, the Switch has come out. Now, you are a proud Switch owner.
Absolutely.
Auntie Donna have been touring a lot around Australia and abroad.
And abroad.
What's her name?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, what?
Sorry.
I just don't understand.
How dare you?
Really not cool.
I thought that I was being Dame Edna still. That was cool when Dame Edna was big.
I want to ask you about this because I feel like you were not someone who was initially sold on the idea of getting a Switch on day one.
Not because of what the Switch is or anything like that. Mm. I've just never in my life bought a console day one. I've never had the money. Mm-hmm. I've always been like, I think I spoke about this last time, I've always had hand-me-downs.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Going in day one, it takes big cojones.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the bravest things anyone can do.
Yeah, it is. What other kind of technology is there where it's that big of a risk going in day one?
Yeah, and also...
Especially on a Nintendo console.
It's the most you'll ever pay for it as well.
Yes, because that only goes down in price.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's with everything, but still, it's like that is the absolute maximum.
Yeah.
You know, so it is risky, but I just had this thing happen where we just started our tour, we were in Brisbane, and it came out, and I just looked at my bank account, and for the first time in my life, I had expendable cash, and I figured it all out, and I went, I could do this.
Because it's like this
drawing on the walls of the JB Hi-Fi. Putting all the numbers together.
This could happen, you know? And I just went, fuck it. And I was just like, this is literally all I did with my day because we landed there and then we had to tech later on. But as soon as we got to the accommodation, the second I put my bag down, I ordered an Uber. It took me straight to JB Hi-Fi. I just went in there. I bought that. I bought Zelda. I got back in an Uber. I went straight home and then I just played it.
Sure. Because what I loved about this was I talked at the time about how I bought mine that morning and then went away that afternoon. But you've gone straight into the being away. You didn't even have it plugged into a TV until like a week in.
No, I know.
Absolute madman. You were so deep in. I loved it. But it was because you were the same, Ben. You were you caved
I was
on the day.
Famously skeptical for like the entire lead up, and then I was kind of the same thing. I got a job and it was my first day and it was my first lunch break and I drove to a JB Hi-Fi on my lunch break and bought a Switch. And I fucking love it. I'm so glad I did.
It's been huge for me in fighting the crippling loneliness and depression that comes with touring, which I hate.
I just have to fight that without touring.
I know, right? Yeah, you just fight it every day. Yeah. It's funny how it trickles over for me as well. But it's especially for planes and everything. One of the best things happened just recently, actually, which was like. This is why I fucking love this thing so much.
And you were hyping this story up before we started.
Was I hyping it? I didn't mean to hype it. You said
I've got the best story that's ever been told.
Guys,
on this
podcast. I've got great news.
You said it like there's peace in the Middle East or something like that. Was going to be your story.
Oh, well, get ready to be disappointed. I was on a plane. It was a very small plane, and I can't remember where we were. Flying. I don't remember any details, actually. No, I was flying to Toronto.
Okay.
Flying to Toronto.
Good start.
Yeah. And this was just on the last, because we just finished touring North America, which was fine. The crowds were great, but it was fine. It's long. It's hard. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Good thing no one will ever book me for international stuff.
I've seen Almost Famous, mate. I get it. I know what it's like.
I know. It's weird. I feel like a piece of shit being like, you know, it's a really wonderful thing.
You got to go know all the lyrics to Tiny Dancer and who knows them.
Jump into a pool. It's great.
Yeah, I know, stick your finger up at high school girls. They're just trying to jog, you know.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But anyway, so I get on the plane and I sit next to this guy because I always make sure I go up to the desk beforehand and move myself away from the other Auntie Donna guys because we spend enough time together as it is.
Yeah.
This is true.
Do they know that you do this or are you
I
then
think
just
some of them have cottoned on to it?
I thought maybe you were going up to the front counter and going, "Hey, look, sit me away from them." But if you could make it look like an accident, like if you could get someone as we walk
how
on,
how do you
be
make
like,
that?
Oh, there's
an
been
accident.
Some. I know you begged and pleaded with us to be sitting next to these five other guys, but you're actually on the other end.
We're going to need the smallest one of you to move. Whichever one of you that is. I don't know which one it is.
At the other end of the plane, like mouthing, "I'm sorry," and shrugging.
I can't hear you over the jet engines.
What I think may have been happening is that we've just all been doing it and no one said anything.
And then you've all moved around and accidentally ended up sitting back together.
Which is why we're all on the verge of fucking killing ourselves. But anyway, so I was sitting next to this this guy, and I don't know him. He doesn't know me. We got nothing to say to each other. Why would we? Mm-hmm.
This is someone from Auntie Donna. Or
I know how it sounds, very much like that, but just some random guy. Mm. And I pull out my Switch and I start playing Mario Kart. And he looks at it and he goes, "Oh fuck!" I'm like, "Oh what?" He's like the one fucking trip, I don't bring my Switch.
Oh.
All right. I'm like, we could have played together. And then I went.
This is like when another kid had Pokemon cards on the train.
Yeah.
In 2014.
but then I went, but you know what? We can still play together.
And then we
set up the screen. We take a controller each. And then we just played the whole trip.
Great. Do you want to come to my rooftop party later? Right? I don't know.
A 3.5 hour plane trip. And we just played Grand Prix after fucking Grand Prix.
That's so good.
Until my hands were so cramped from the tiny fucking Joy-Con. But it was so cool.
Like, can I tell you?
I loved that. So, and when I say cool, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and there's the rest of the Auntie Donna people being forced to like read the in-flight magazine and shit because you won't share with them.
Playing their PS Vitas against each other like a bunch of losers. Can I tell you, that is my dream. Like, I've been on a few flights with it, and I really hope someday soon I get someone kind of, you know, I want to be notified by someone sitting near me and get that local wireless going.
Yeah,
you can use Bluetooth. It's Bluetooth, but you can use Bluetooth on a plane, can't you? Yeah, you can. Yeah.
But I think when you put the switch on
flight mode,
yeah, it turns off Bluetooth.
Yeah,
it's bizarre. Mode. There's no fucking point.
Yeah.
I'm texting the whole flight. I don't give a fuck.
That's badass.
The last time, because we went on a plane to Perth, and you had your phone out the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me because I don't know how planes work these days.
Yeah.
But all the planes are
but
from
you
the 70s.
Do you know
anyway.
How they worked in the past?
Yeah. You weren't allowed to turn your shit on. That was the number one rule is like, hey, don't fucking mess with the pilots.
Yeah.
Well, and don't put any Bluetooth.
I was in Vietnam recently and they've.
Okay, mate. All right. We get it. Tour.
Oh, God. Did a bit of internal flying there, and they're still doing the thing where you can't have your headphones on or anything. Because I remember that's pretty recent here, but fuck, that was a great day of getting on the plane. And I just happened to be reading through the in-flight magazine, and it was like, I think it was Tiger, and it was like there was a big statement from the head of the company on the front page of the magazine, and it's him patting himself on the back for making the decision to now allow you to sit there with your headphones on from the minute you get on the plane. Nah. And I was like, this is a new dawn.
I still
this
don't
is
like
so good.
That stuff. Still freaks me out, even though I know technically it works now or whatever. Even if it's like a what do you call it, a placebo thing.
Yeah,
it makes me feel way safer if everyone's just sitting there, eyes locked towards the front of the plane.
I hate it, man. I fucking have to fly so much now, and the worst is like, I think it's Etihad where they don't even turn on the entertainment system until you're at cruise.
Yeah,
oh, right.
Which is the fucking worst.
I love it.
I mean, it's
like
just
20
as bad.
Minutes.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's 20 minutes where I do what? Well, now I switch.
Yeah.
But if I'm not allowed to put my fucking... If they're telling me I can't do that, that's horseshit.
Nah, you've got to sit there and you've got to silently pray for the entire time. I'm a bad... Like, I'm not a good flyer.
This should be the show.
Statistically, it's safer than driving your car.
Statistically, cars...
Having said that, every time there's turbulence, I think I'm going to die.
Yeah, totally.
I prepare myself for the end.
I get so fucking mad at the people as well. When you have like a rough landing, there'll always be someone who fucking claps at the end.
God,
I
we
hate
clap.
That because it acknowledges that it was difficult and it acknowledges that it could have gone wrong. But you're just meant to go like, of course, you should land, and everyone should say, absolutely, that would happen.
This is a great. This is all great for the dossier.
Absolutely,
this is great stuff to add to the Adam Knox dossier that we're gradually putting together on the show.
I never knew I was bad with flying until I flew alone as well, and that was when like.
Flying alone sucks, man. Yeah. It's real sad.
There was a dude as well, and there was a whole free row behind me he could have moved to, but he was sitting next to me, and he had his head back, and he was snoring the whole time. I killed him. I threw him out of the plane.
You know that no you are noticed. The loudest snorer who's ever lived.
Not on a plane. Not on a plane.
Not on a plane.
Something happened.
You had air pressure. I don't know. I try to remove myself. The last time I was sleeping in a hotel with other people, I was like, I'll go sleep by the pool if you want.
Your septum just aligns.
It's that 45 degree angle that the plane is on. That's probably too much. But whatever angle a plane is on, I'm
pretty sure it's flat most of the time.
No. That's why I don't like flying, because my planes are always drifting.
All right, co-pilot, bring her up to a good old 57 degrees, I reckon.
Let's see if we can fucking bring the tail out. That'll be sick. I've got a Skyline back home. Do you want to hear about it?
Because I went flying with my Switch the day I got it, I really hoped I was just going to be sitting next to some kid whose like parents weren't going to get him one. And then I was telling you this the other night, I got a review code for ARMS a couple of weeks before it came out, and was on a couple of flights then. and just bringing it out in public, going, come on, someone, just really hoping, because I know if I was on the other side of that and had seen over someone's shoulder playing this game that I was looking forward to that I knew wasn't out,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been able to help myself. I would have been looking at it going, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You can't go to a flight attendant, can I sit next to a kid, please? Yeah. Is that just the youngest, the most impressionable?
Yes. I just want to show on my video game.
Yeah.
That's why I'm super looking forward to Edinburgh this year, as much as I fucking despise that festival because it's so hard.
Are you okay?
No. I don't know what I want to do with my life, guys. I'm questioning it constantly.
Hey, you know what? If you want to drop out of Andy Johnna, you're more than welcome to just join this podcast full-time.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, well, hey. Just take on a full-time fourth member.
Yeah. I'd love to take a cut of that Sweet Planet Broadcasting dollar. No,
you already do. You're already on the network.
But I need two paychecks to live.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, there's a lot of comedians who are going to be in Edinburgh this year who have switches, and I'm bringing my doc, and I'm bringing my arms, bringing everything, and I'm very much looking forward to holding switch nights.
Yeah,
well, I'm about
to take it to like the little castle and shit and play it in dumb places.
Yeah,
they got a little castle in Edinburgh.
Well, this like I had planned in my head after Naomi bought me a PlayStation 4. I mentioned it on last time I was a guest. And I was going to bring it to Edinburgh, but then Naomi came with me and I don't need my PlayStation if my girlfriend's there because...
well, we all cycling through.
It's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
Normally, I would have been going, four! Oh, that's sick!
So, well, my plan was always to bring my PlayStation to Edinburgh I could just do it. But now I can bring my Switch and it's so much easier and everyone else has got theirs. And it's going to be fucking... I'm genuinely looking forward to that.
Well, I'm about to go do Splendor in the Grass, and I was talking to Michael Hing, who kind of organises the comedians, and I was going, man, fuck, there's a lot of people going that have switches. Fuck, I really want to bring my Switch and get some, but it just sounds, it's too risky because we're all camping, and Hing goes, there's lockers backstage, man. So I think it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I've used the lockers backstage. They're great. They're safe. You're going to have a great time. Bring your Switch. I insist.
What a plug. Anyone on the fence about going to Splendor in the Grass, great lockers in the backstage area.
No, anyone on the fence about being booked to perform at Splendor in the Grass. Yeah.
I've got to go to direct recruitment in Richmond in a couple of weeks. I might take my Switch there. That might be really cool.
Okay, we've got to talk about there's been a bunch of big releases this week.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest being the Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy. I do not care for that subheading.
Really?
I've got to say, yeah.
Okay.
That came out this week.
Would now, you say that it's like a little crazy?
Oh.
Like a little bit, like a bit of a loopy thing to call it?
A bit nutty.
Some variant of that.
A bit zany.
A little bonkers,
sort
right?
It's like it was cooked up by someone not quite right in their head.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like some sort of...
Insane!
This has been... This was a surprise reveal at E3 last year.
Mm. Two years ago even, was it?
No, I think it was last year.
I think it was last year, yeah. Yeah. Crash.
Yeah.
Hasn't been around for a long time. It had kind of become, I think Crash Bandicoot had become like a little bit of like a kind of a punchline almost.
Like a little bit like a Parappa the Rapper, like, oh, remember the PlayStation back in the day?
Genuinely, whenever Crash Bandicoot would come up, I'd think of like 90s British house music as well. You know what I mean? Like that sort of level of like raves and stuff. And he went away at around the same time as them. Okay. Like Moby.
Did you have a PlayStation? Did you play the original?
I played the originals and then played them again like 5 years ago or something.
Oh, right.
On a PSP.
Yeah.
Now, why?
I've got time to fill.
What was it in 2012?
No, it was because I got
you to play Crash Bandicoot.
It was because I got a PSP and they were on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing else on there?
Like 60,000 other things, but you know, look, we're going to talk about it again now. It's 5 years later,
yes,
and you're saying it was irrelevant for me to play it 5 years ago.
Okay, fair
now
enough.
Now is worse. And I didn't pay for it then as well.
Wow.
Wait, no, I must have.
How would you have?
But it would have been like $5. But I had the PlayStation 1 ones.
So
I'm not on trial here. Crash Bandicoot's relevance is. Okay. And I put it to the court
yes.
that he is not.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So wait. So you. So Ben, you bought the remaster.
Yeah.
You've been playing it.
Yep.
Mark, you've been playing it.
Yeah, Naomi bought it. She bought it. She pre-ordered it and then brought it home and was like, "I fucking
pay for anything yourself."
Nah. I'm the best. I have the best relationship out of everyone. Fuck you.
When Naomi's booking my flights, I'm like, "Can you put me away from the rest of the
Can you put me away from my own income?" Nox, you were saying you were on the fence about whether or not you were going to get it. Did you get it? Or
no.
You didn't?
And I think I never will. I can't predict the future.
Never. But you never will.
It's a real feat of marketing that they've made him interesting again to people, that they've made Crash Bandicoot.
It's nostalgia. Nostalgia's huge at the moment.
Totally,
man. But I think just nostalgia for games in general, like I have to keep... Like, I keep wanting to buy Max Payne because it's on the PlayStation store.
And it's cheap.
And just because I played it when I was a kid and I fucking loved it. And
it was
like, it's like people like you guys, because you remind them of Con the Fruiterer. It's like nostalgia.
That's exactly right.
Powerful tool.
We go, maybe we'll have 90 days.
But I'm not even nostalgic about it because I never played Crash.
And me either.
I always saw it.
Yeah.
I always assumed it was just a shit poor man's version of Super Mario 64.
Me too.
Right. Yeah. Guess what?
No, I would disagree. Having played the remaster.
Mm.
Yeah. So I was exactly the same. I was like, it felt like. I guess that was kind of like the console wars, quote unquote, at the time, but also very much of that age bracket where it. Well, I mean, you had to. It was pretty rare that you knew anyone who had all consoles.
Totally.
So you sort of picked one, and then I remember it being very much like, you know, you really had your loyalty. It was kind of like a football team. It was
very
like,
much so.
So anything. It was very easy to look very snidely on kind of any on your perceived faults of what the competition was doing.
Sure, sure.
And yeah, I remember looking at Crash and thinking like, look how desperate they are. They don't have Mario. This is just like designed by committee. And also I grew up like kind of loving animation and really getting into like kind of like the creator-owned shows of like Nickelodeon of that time. And anything that didn't seem like it had been made by kind of like one person who kind of had this real...
You're a subscriber to the auteur theory.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah. So it just really seemed like them... Crash was sort of invented off the back of like, we need something.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So
we need to compete.
Take a bit of Sonic and take a bit of Mario.
Yeah, totally,
But now,
should he
like,
have attitude?
Yes!
Yeah.
He needs attitude.
But what kind of attitude? I don't know. Kind of weird.
A bad one, a mainly bad attitude.
But well, I think now, like, playing this remaster and so not having any attachment to it, I actually think, and this will be controversial given everything you've just said, Adam.
All right, brace
yourselves. Actually think he as a character has aged a lot better than I would have thought. I think he, like, as a character, I kind of buy him more now than I did back then.
Right.
Yeah,
and maybe it's the fact, maybe it's it being in HD, but, like, playing it now, I go, oh, this is kind of just like a Looney Tunes cartoon. Like,
I
get it.
Very much so.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
They were always like that. And Crash Bandicoot as a character, which feels weird to say, like, character, because he was just like, we need a fucking thing that jumps. What jumps? Bandicoot?
Yeah.
Good enough.
It's kind of like the Tasmanian Devil from Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Like,
he was, so the Tasmanian Devil was always my favorite Looney Tunes character growing up. So the fact that he kind of spins and he's a bit, he doesn't speak.
He's Aussie.
He's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, my history is I was a PlayStation 1 person. Like, I never had an N64 and I fucking loved these games at the time. Like, I played them a lot. I'm playing through them now basically on memory.
Right.
Like, I I've kind of, like, weirdly, I forgot how much I was into them, but I'm learning. Oh, I just know every nook and cranny of these levels. And this remaster is incredibly faithful to the originals.
Really?
Yeah. It's basically the exact same gameplay.
It's fucking hard.
It's
man.
Really hard, yeah.
It is. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Because someone was saying to me to play it in order of 2, 3, 1 because 1 is so hard.
Yep.
And I'm playing 1, I'm trying to play it through.
Yeah.
And
that's the, what is it called? The Battle Axe Cannon? What's that fucking Star Wars thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember
the Anakin,
called.
Like,
if
it's,
I could have fucking remembered
the
that
Battle
one
Battle Axe
word.
Cannon.
Yeah, it's called something like that.
It's like you
some
watch
bad
it.
Mother-in-law joke.
Where you watch it, you watch episode, like, four, yeah. five, and then you watch two, yes. three, yeah. and then you watch six, and yeah. you just forget about one.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm, the one, it's where you watch one on repeat nine times.
Right, that's the best yeah. one. That's
it's really
yeah.
good.
I'm yeah, like as someone who's never played it before, yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, me
I'm,
too.
It, like I've never found myself screaming "fuck you, Ripperoo" so much yes. at the TV.
Yeah. I have a lot of like overall, I'm enjoying it and I like it a lot. I do have a lot of issues with it though.
Okay,
I have a lot yeah. of problems with it,
such as.
So I think, like I remember at the time it being. Like that was its point of difference was that it was, oh, Mario's left to right. Well, this is up and down.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you're running
yeah.
up and down the screen.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably a good reason why that hadn't been done before, nor has it really been done since, is that the perspective just for something where – for levels where they put a lot of cliffs in,
yeah.
I just find myself dying so often just because it's really hard to judge the distance – in clips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like these games, I feel like I'm dying a lot in ways that are very frustrating
oh,
and
yeah.
a good chunk of the time are not my fault.
I that's so great to hear because Naomi will contend to this that I will be playing this game, as I do most games, and just die and just be like, that is bullshit.
Yeah.
That is complete bullshit. Like, yeah. the fact that I can... That the turtle's tail,
yeah.
that the back end of a fucking turtle, yeah. and yeah. if I spin a second too early,
that's
and
what is,
and
yeah.
it looks like it hasn't touched me. Yes. He hasn't attacked me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but
and
it,
yet I fucking turn into a ghost. What is this? Some sort of poisonous fucking turtle?
Yeah, that's
shouldn't
really
he fucking
annoying.
Bite me or something?
It's the most dangerous part of the turtle.
the tail.
That's why the Ninja Fuck Turtles off. Didn't have tails. Yeah. They kept them retracted all the time.
Because they just kill their enemies instantly. Yeah. And it wouldn't be fun to watch.
If
yeah.
you sit on someone's lap,
yes,
they die.
Yeah,
you know, the turtles are always sitting on people's lap.
Yeah. Look,
from what you've described, it doesn't sound like you're enjoying this.
It's
but that's
well,
the weird thing. Yeah,
because I'm enjoying the aesthetic. I'm enjoying the ooga booga. Like I'm enjoying.
Okay.
Oh, he went
okay.
there.
All right. I guess it's time we got to have this conversation.
I know.
Guys.
I know. It's like we can talk about that forever. But I enjoy.
What is the boot polish on your face when this is an audio medium? Real
just
neat
those
for
little
that.
Sounds though. They're so satisfying and
yeah.
the atmosphere
yep.
and there's so much about it that is fun. Although even though it's just.
I totally
incredibly
agree with,
infuriating.
I totally
yeah.
agree with you though. The range of I don't know how you describe it, the collision detection or
yes.
whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The range of how things kill you is it's off by just like a couple of centimeters or whatever
yeah.
however you want
yep.
to measure it
yeah.
each time. And it's again frequently it's like, okay, so I just came into range of that like you'll jump yeah, you'll jump and happen to land right next to yeah the turtle or the plant
yep,
or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wish that they, I mean, the cliff sections when you're going up and down are always annoying to me, and I wish they weren't there. And then when they go into any kind of 2D,
yep,
side
scrolling,
so left to
mm-hmm,
right.
Yeah,
I just think they don't do it. It isn't half as good as the up and down sections, and it's not a quarter as good as a good Mario game. So I kind of wish they would lay off that a bit more.
Yeah.
Like I was just doing a say. I reckon like I've played number one the most, and
yeah.
I'll talk about I have played the other two, but I'll go to that in a bit. But like the I've done about three of these bits where you're kind of going up.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of going up a platform bit, and so it's like the boxes that you have to jump on.
Yep.
And time when you hit jump
yeah.
to get that extra boost.
Yep.
And if you're off by just a little bit, you just fall all the way back down.
Just
yeah.
hold
it. And then you just have to go, and then you just have to kind of work your way back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just do, and it's like, it's just not fun. And it's just like the thing where you slightly misjudge and you're like, oh, okay, I'm right on here. Oh, no, I wasn't. Oh, okay. It didn't register it at that accurately.
Yeah.
So now I'm just having to climb my way back to the top again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
see,
it's not challenging. It's just like, oh, now I have to just fucking do this again until I just happen to luck out and it registers my read of where I land on the ledge properly, and then I just move on.
See, my take on it is like it is like an old platformer.
Mm.
Like where they were hard. They were all hard. You had to repeat bits until you got
like
them.
When men were men.
Well, no, yeah, it's very much I totally agree. Sometimes I have to click in and
yeah.
change my brain and just go, this is just hard.
Yes.
I have to learn how to play this game.
Totally. Like, I've been, like, I've gotten used to playing Assassin's Creed, where to climb a building, you just hold forward.
Yeah.
Like, you can't breeze through this. You do have to be patient.
Yeah.
And
I do also think, though, there are kind of elements of, and again, like I said, I am really enjoying it.
Mm.
And again, maybe this is my lifelong Nintendo affiliations shining through, but there are elements of the level design sometimes where you can just kind of see, you can sort of see the person designing it a little bit too much, and it's like, yeah, and then there's a flame, yeah, and then you jump right onto a cliff, and then there's a thing there. Whereas I think the best examples of that, of the platformers that I love, that's organic, and you never feel like you can kind of hear the person designing it going, oh, how much would that fuck you up if you jumped off that and then there's a spike right there?
Like, I think that's
fair. It sort of seems a bit too obvious in some of its trickery. Well, it's never like you go around a corner and it's like, oh, fuck me, it really ramps up here. It's just like this stuff all kind of thrown at you.
That's true. Like, the best stuff about Mario games are, and it's like what Miyamoto's talked about before, it's like it teaches you how to play the next bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And
without you noticing.
Yeah. And the Crash games, you kind of notice.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a fair criticism. I mean,
that being said, like, if my main complaint of this is, it's not quite up to scratch with what many people consider to be the gold standard of platformers. Mm. Well, that's not really the most fair criticism. Like, that still means it's good.
Yes.
Like, you know. Yeah. Mm.
It sounds like these are just exactly the same complaints that people had with it 20 years ago.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Which makes complete sense because it's the same thing.
So it really is exactly the same, like, but it looks
aside
better.
Aside from these little jarring things of perspective and the collision detection, though, I remember you saying, Nox, in the lead up to it, that you thought he would control badly by today's standards.
Yeah.
I think he controls really well.
He controls exactly the same as the original.
Really?
With the originals, though, like, the controls are sticky. Knees weak, arms are heavy. The controls are sticky in this way that, like, it always felt like there was a little bit of a gap between what your brain automatically wanted to do and the needing to second guess the input, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it was fair then, and it's still fair. It's not like you're playing a 2D Mario from the NES era, where it's exactly precise.
Because those things are so, like, the momentum is so perfect and all that shit on your jump and whatever.
That's what
you don't notice that you're controlling it.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned the patience thing. It's like you can't just barrel through. If everything is not one to one, you do have to kind of slow down, judge things, judge jumps. And do it 10 times because you do have to get the timing
which
right.
Which ideally you wouldn't have to consciously learn these controls.
Yeah.
That you would naturally pick them up as it went.
Mm.
And so that's just a fault in the way that that's designed to me.
I did a level the other day where you're riding a pig and then you're kind of having to weave in and out of stuff and there's a lot of that. There's a lot of dying again and again and again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm very bad at I make the same mistakes 5 times in a row.
Right.
And sort of going, fuck, okay, this time you go to the right because that the little guy's on there and he moves.
Yes, absolutely. I know you're talking about.
That stuff I love, but then it just makes the other things where it's like, oh, okay, there was a cliff over the other side of that I couldn't see. It just makes that much more annoying because once you settle into the rhythm of okay, I know when it's on me and I know when it's my fault, then when it's, I agree. I like the repetition and the learning and going back in. And once you take a few too many hits in a row and you just feel like you can't do it and then you kind of, you steel yourself and you go, nah, this is the one.
Yes.
Come on, stop fucking around.
Yeah.
You know what to do here and then you get through it and it feels so good.
Absolutely.
And that's just why the bit I was talking about before where you just fall to the bottom and it's like, okay, I'll just make my way up again. It's it's just that stuff. It's like, this and is just boring.
There's not much of an argument you can make for that being a good design feature rather than just something that people have figured out how to go oh no, we don't need to do this by having more checkpoints. Because once you've done something, you've done it. You don't need to prove that you can do it again to get to that same point to try the thing that you actually fucked up before.
Yeah.
You know,
so
that's just an archaic sort of thing.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It is, but I think that's like Ben was saying, I think that's the style of game.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to accept that, and it's hard to accept these days.
Yes, yeah.
Totally. It's really fucking hard
I'd be really interested to see what a 12-year-old thought of this.
Mm. Yeah. Because
we all played, if not Crash Bandicoot games around that time, so what do you, is that so outdated now to somebody who wasn't there then? Because it's easy to go back and readjust to stuff that you did do once.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wonder what somebody...
We do need to...
We should have gotten a 12-year-old on.
Yeah.
We do need to make special mention of the fact that the remaster itself, it looks great.
It looks fucking incredible.
Beautiful.
His animations, and I've always... In platformers, I've always loved or any kind of game, like the jungle levels, like the kind of beachy levels, like those kinds of environments are always the stuff I've sort of loved. So the fact that these games, and it's kind of why I've always had a big fondness for the Donkey Kong games as well, because even if they move off eventually into other worlds, you always start off in a jungle kind of world, which I've always really loved. And so, the look and the feel of that is just right in my wheelhouse, which, when I booted up the first one and was playing that, I was like, I love this. I'm into it.
It's honestly the best I could have imagined. Take today's amazing graphics tech and put it on this platformer.
Yeah.
It looks like you'd imagine. It's cool.
The boss
design
is all of the ones I've played. The boss designs are really great.
Yeah.
And the mechanics of them.
Yep. You can play as Coco now, right? His sister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that his sister?
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Which
they're both
doesn't,
fictional.
Yeah.
Wait, don't start introducing that kind of reason. The whole thing will fall apart.
I like his fun little death animation still. All that stuff is nice. I like seeing him die again and again.
Fuck.
It gets me hard.
Smashing the crates feels great. It's a lot of... Yeah. Like, I remember at the time when it was first out and you know, sort of doing everything I could in my head to just not be into it and just thinking that looked like a bit of a... You know, a desperate kind of deliberately trying to do something a bit different to Mario that didn't.
But close enough, it's like it's a box with a question mark on it. Yeah,
yeah. But now, I'll always go out of my way to just destroy the pile of boxes that's there.
Yeah.
I have no interest in trying to 100% all the levels, and I know you unlock stuff. It's that doesn't appeal to me.
What about you, Mario? Are you trying to 100% it? Are you?
Nah, man. It's too, for me, it's too new and it's too challenging to even broach that area of it.
Yeah.
And also, I love seeing him get hit by boxes
at the end. That's great.
When he just gets crushed. Yeah. I love that detail. I love that the more boxes you miss, the more. It's not like, is that new or is that...
No, I think that was in the original.
Is
it
anything new or is it so faithful?
I think it's 100% faithful.
The cutscenes and the voices.
Really cool.
There were cutscenes in the originals.
And there were voiceovers as well, because I remember Dr.
Nick Cortex.
Cortex.
No, my doctor when I was a kid.
Dr. Malone.
Yeah, Cortex. No, that's
Dr.
right.
Dr. Feelgood.
That's what he called himself. I remember him having that big, is it the same voice acting?
It might be.
Hello, I'm not going to be able to do it. Hello, possums. Like that.
You know what I hate?
Yeah.
The Activision and the Vicarious Visions, identity
credits,
things that play at the start that you can't skip.
Yeah,
that goes for too long.
That is so annoying.
That's from the old days, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have had that fucking PS1 boot up thing started.
I
really thought they were going to. Yeah, I really thought that would be in there.
That Wipeout collection thing that came out, that has a case on it where it's... Oh,
fucking hell.
Just kicked the table real hard. And I meant to do it as a show of power. But it has a little slip cover over the front of it. It's just a normal thing underneath. But it's got a little PS1 box thing over the cover of it.
That's great.
It looks really nice. Mm. It cost me a dollar extra to get that one.
Very nice.
I hate myself. I could have spent that dollar on anything.
There's you unlock a special something, and I think like the first level of number one, if you go through and don't hit any boxes, and someone I know put up on Instagram a video of the bit at the end of the level where he just gets pulverized by boxes for what feels like about 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and him getting
sounds
more
like
and more
a bit
down.
Like me on tour, getting pulverized by boxes.
Oh, you can't.
It's a little bit like me on tour.
You can't say that.
It's a little bit like what happens to me on tour.
You
I reckon.
You can't say that on television.
Good thing I'll never have the chance. Continue.
So you touched on this before, Mark, but I had heard from people as well that the common consensus was 2 is the best one. Start with 2 and then maybe 3 and then go back to 1. For the sake of, wanting to kind of dip my toe into all of them, I went through them 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of fully expected to kind of lock onto either 2 or 3 and that being the one that I loved more. I kind of went through the first world of all of them and I keep just going back to number 1.
Yeah.
I think that presentation wise, I just prefer 1 a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So they don't mix it up much in terms of...
No, but they, because is it, and you agree with me, don't you, Ben?
Yes, but I prefer one. I prefer one. It's kind of like the Donkey Kong 64 thing of like it's an island and you're here and you kind of move around to the next level and you kind of traverse this.
It's got an overworld map where you're kind of you know moving around. But
all,
then,
all the places were broadly jungle, temple sort of.
Sure. Yeah. And that's fine. But then two, like the two and three are very guilty to me of the symptom, like sort of sequel-itis of the time.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Where it was sort of like, okay, this thing's been popular, get another one out real quick.
Mm. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the Turner and the you know, technically you with that hardware, you know, it's not like an Assassin's Creed thing where it is taking this like huge, huge deal of time to put this together
did,
or whatever.
Did any of those two jump to PS2 or were they all PS1?
They were all PS1 and all then PS1, they did some other ones on PS2 that different people made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right.
And it I kind of, the franchise like kind of fell apart after those, after the three that
well, they
were.
They did like three or four more of
and
them.
They did Crash Team Racing, which was a big hit. It was a really good game. And there was another one like a
Crash Bash.
Yes, yes.
Which was like a party thing
Mario
on the PS1.
Mario Party kind of thing, yeah.
And then, there were a bunch of other ones, which is why it's so weird because Crash Bandicoot, to me, my memory of it is always it slowly dying a painful death, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah,
it
doesn't
really have that.
Like a Sonic.
Yeah, totally.
It did, though. Like, I looked up the timeline of it, and then it's like, it's popping up on the Game Boy Advance, and there's all these kind of studios doing it, and it's,
Same deal with Spyro as well.
Yeah, where it really kind of petered out.
Well, and then Spyro's technically still going in Skylanders, but he's just like a B player in that now.
Mm.
But my point is, so number two has this, the mechanic is you are in a kind of, you're in a warp room at any one time that has five different levels that you can go to in any order.
Oh, okay, right.
And it's kind of an attempt to, I guess, sort of make it feel a bit more fleshed out and, you know, there's kind of shades of like Mario 64.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like,
but all you're doing, the hub, you can't really freely move around. It's literally just you're selecting.
Yeah, it's one room. And like it's more, literally.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's animated, you know, it's there's technically there's more going on than just there being an overworld map, but I just don't think it's as successful. And like it's, it makes the levels all feel just really disconnected and really displaced.
There's as you go on with that one where, like, it gives you a jetpack in some of them and you're in space and then there's, like, ice and all of that.
Mm. And three and goes even further.
Three's time travel.
Yes.
Three, you can tell by the time they get there that the other two have started with a jungle level. And so three is like, okay, well, we're jetting in and it's a medieval-themed level to start with. And it's kind of like...
What?
Yeah. And then the third level is like... Oh, now you're playing as the sister and you're on a jet ski. But they just, they're very disconnected.
Oh, wow.
And
even it feels like the Transformers franchise.
it's just, there's nothing holding it. It doesn't feel cohesive and it doesn't all feel like it's
it feels
one
cheap.
World.
It feels like they've gone, there's a bunch of platformers that have had like a riding an animal level, a jet ski level, a plane level. Let's just put a hub world where you just go to that level.
And
there's
again,
no connection.
It's really symptomatic of the time where it was, where everything sort of ended, wound up.
Mm.
In that same sort of situation at the time, it was like, and now they're doing all of time and space.
Totally.
Yes, yes.
But you'd expect the hub world to get a bit more, if it's going to grow in that way, to make it feel more. I mean, the first five levels in this just feel disjointed. They're all from completely different things. And like,
but that's
even
sort of,
this is such a small detail, but in one and two, you end the level by you walk onto a platform and Crash kind of jumps on it and then he gets kind of like sucked up into the air.
Yeah.
And in the third one, you end the level by there's just this kind of floating orb that you just kind of jump into and then it ends. And again, it just there's just something – you not seeing an animation of Crash kind of – like it feels just like this random sort of like not much thought or design put into it. It just doesn't gel with me in that same way.
That also weirdly was the style with that sort of game at the time.
Yeah.
Mm. So like it's it's a weird – again,
it's interesting though. I kind of expected the third one for being more recent and for kind of, you know, sort of, being the third one.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the one that would hold up more and one would feel super dated. But it's actually, I feel like the one for having the overworld map and everything has just a bit more of an evergreen kind of feel to it.
It's more of an overall like cohesive thing. Like one, like it's the first album thing of a band where it's like we put all of our ideas into this. We fine-tuned this over a lot of time and this is our like primo product.
Yeah.
And then the other ones were like, oh, let's try the
Jet ski. What a lot of people forget is that a lot of bands' first albums are 5, 6, 10 years of work.
Yeah.
And then the second album is like two.
Yes.
Because it was successful. You know?
Totally.
And it's like, because it's so interesting thinking about, like, Nintendo don't do that. You know, like they brought out Mario 64, and that was it. That was the only one. And then it wasn't until the next, you know, Sunshine came out.
Yeah.
Well, Galaxy was the first time they'd done a sequel to a Mario game console since the NES.
And it's incredible.
Well, yeah. And they only did that because they had a whole bunch of leftover ideas from They had too many ideas.
But I'd argue that 2 is better than 1 in my opinion.
Many people would make that argument.
Number 2 is incredible.
Yeah.
That was said with a tone of many people who are wrong.
Not what I intended, but sure. I'm happy for it to be read that way. That's fine.
I think it feels like it's that thing where it's like they made something that was like, obviously there would have been so much drive to make this game at the time to be like, we got to make something that's got to be as good, that's got to compete, that's got to bring that platforming thing to PlayStation.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I read at the time. For a long time, the character wasn't Crash Bandicoot. It was Willy the Wombat.
Oh. We could be living in a Willy the Wombat world.
There'd be no remaster.
And then I can't remember who it was. It was the head of some company that, like, the two guys that were working on it, it was like they're some higher up who's, like, you know, signing off on the whole thing. He goes, nah, call him, like, Waz or Wiz or something like that. And it's like, okay, well, now
I think you mean he said, call him, like, Waz or, like...
but, yeah, I mean, it sounds like I'm being over negative for the sake of just having talking points on this. I am really enjoying it, like I said. And it, I mean, for the price point and everything, it's definitely, you know, if you haven't got it yet and you've got a PS4, it's definitely worth the
price, it's worth it whether you're a fan or not, in my opinion.
I like this thing of like having one of the sort of B studios, which is my impression of what the people who made this are, right? I don't know what else they've made.
No.
But if they were making their own thing, it would probably, like, not to be mean, but probably be something that didn't do very well and was
Absolutely.
Maybe even wasn't that well made, because a lot of these people who do like these ports and remasters and stuff kind of just do that.
Yeah.
And so I don't mind the thing of, because I've seen some people go like, why aren't they making something new?
Right.
They can bring out something new instead of this, but it doesn't take up any actual time.
It's almost a good way, like it should happen a bit more, because you kind of go, oh, let's say you're Nintendo or whatever, and there's this studio that you've got your eye on that you think look good, will kind of get them in to do a remaster, because they're, by doing that, they're going to have to still go back to the core of the game basically kind of learn by just remaking it
same
again.
Same as that Metroid one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd love a remaster of Max Payne. To have that exact game as good as it could now. I'd love that. I'd buy that in a second.
Yeah. I don't remember people talking about it at the time, but I hear, like, in the last few months, and kind of tied to this coming out as well, heaps of people talking about how they love Crash Team Racing.
Yeah.
And I reckon that'll be the next, I reckon that's going to get its own remaster.
Well, if this does really well. Yeah. I don't know how it's going.
I think it's going great. I mean, from what I've seen on social media,
a news thing that it sold better than Horizon did.
Wow.
Really?
In its first week.
Fuck. I wish there was a Box Office Mojo equivalent for video games.
Yeah. So it feels like it only gets out when people don't want it to. Like, something leaks and they're like, oh, we fucking heard.
Yeah.
Found it out. We've seen it all.
Yeah. It's getting pretty good reviews as well. It's like an 80 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of negative ones, which were mostly like, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, it is hard. Sorry.
And that's a fair thing. Like, but I feel like it's very clear if you know that you'll like this or not.
Yeah.
If you like that sort of game, then it's one of those or three of those.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is, like, it's the first non-Switch thing I've played in a while where I'm going, I kind of wish this was on the Switch.
I wish
I could play this in bed and, like, on a plane and whatever. Like, this is so suited to it. Like,
I went and played a little bit of that Zelda DLC
in
the last week. Well, I say I played the Zelda DLC.
It's interesting because outside when I said, have you played
I
looked me dead in the eyes and said, no, I have not.
So I played Zelda.
Okay.
I didn't really get to any of the DLC stuff.
Right.
Because it just took a bit of adjustment of, like, these controls are fucking weird.
Yeah, right.
Back to them again. And the feeling of, because I bought that on the Wii U and I have a Switch now, because I didn't go day one on the Switch, like, fucking lunatics.
Yeah.
I waited day 100 and something.
I waited until there was an eBay sale and there was a dude who just found out he was having a kid, so he had to sell it now.
Yep.
So I waited until there
you
was...
You took advantage.
Yes.
I needed to know that somebody else felt bad.
Yeah.
Well, Well, yeah, that's the other big thing of the week, the Zelda Breath of the Wild, the first DLC, the first of two that have been announced came out last weekend.
Yep.
I went in, I have not done a great deal of it, but I've done enough to get kind of an overall impression.
So what bits did you do?
So the main selling point, I guess, especially if you've already completed the game, is the Master Sword Trials, which is basically... it's in the Korok Forest, and it kind of transports you into this room where it's a series of rooms of increasing difficulty where you have to take out all the enemies to move on to the next room.
Right.
And if you die, you have to go all the way back. So and you're stripped of everything that you have in the game.
Right.
So it's basically like you start the game again with nothing and have to make your way through.
But it's all just fighting in there? Like all...
I think I've gotten to maybe the fourth or fifth room the couple of times I've done it. I've died in the exact same way.
Yeah.
And it's all been fighting. There's no puzzles or
it's all been
anything?
Fighting so far. Yeah. The impression I get from how they've marketed is that it's all fighting.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely something that is like I still haven't taken on Ganon. I have too much anxiety about having formally finished the game. I've done all the beasts. I just can't bring myself to do that. I'm trying to get all the shrines first.
Yeah.
It is very much, I think it's very much designed with like, okay, well, you've taken out Ganon. Here's like a, you could still be dicking around in the world, but here's an actual combat challenge.
Because I restarted it recently I've been playing it from scratch because I beat Ganon and I had all this shit, but there was so much exploring I hadn't done. Because I didn't know, that's what I love about the game is that as I was playing it, I didn't know exactly how to play it, and by the time I sort of figured out everything you could do, I was so deep into the game that going all the way back, I don't know. I just didn't. I was just like, fuck it. I'll start it again.
Yeah.
Which has been great. Yeah. I've been loving it. You know, I can't play it. It doesn't have that sense of discovery anymore.
Yeah, I've wondered, would I be able to bring myself to start anew? Because to me, so much of the experience was tied to not knowing anything about it. Because we talked about this on the show. They did such a masterful job they were so calculated in what they showed you. Mm. And even when it looked like they were showing us heaps of it, once we all started playing it, we realized, oh, they had kept so much up their sleeve. And I just don't know how it would feel going in and sort of knowing like, okay, well, that's kind of where this is and that's kind of what this is.
This was like... a week-long decision for me. Like it wasn't an easily made decision.
Yeah.
But by the time I sort of came around to it and went, nah, fuck it, I'm going to do it, the only difference I have found is that I can't play it for 5 hours now. Right. I only play it for about two.
Right.
I play it for about 2 hours straight and then I'll get a little bored and need to put it down.
Sure, yeah.
But then I'll come back to it and play it for another 2 hours.
So when you first started playing that, it was that thing of like every second thing you do, there was some other new thing that you want to go see.
It's just oh my god moments.
And I'm kind of still having that. So also within the DLC is the new master mode, which I think it starts, I haven't gone into it yet, but I think it starts a new save file.
Right. You get one save that you get to have and one checkpoint save as well.
Right. But
to limit you.
But it's a new save, but it's still within
a new game. It's a new
game. Oh, it starts you completely brand new?
Yeah, it's a brand new thing. And then every enemy is like one step up.
One up.
Yeah. And there's little flying ones on platforms and shit. And there's no new ones, which is kind of a shame.
They regenerate.
I felt like you saw a lot of the same ones a lot of the time.
Oh, absolutely.
In that game.
It's weird. I mean, that's the one weird thing about that game is that there's not more regional enemies. There's different races that live on different corners of the map.
But the enemies are just like different colors.
Then you get to the one of the parts and there's that new big one that you got to take down, the little worm thing.
Yeah.
Worm boy,
yeah. When you got to take down Worm Boy, it's like, no, please. You're like, fuck you, Worm Boy. Yeah. I'm taking you down.
The whole thing just kind of feels a little like, for me, it's all about the second DLC that's coming out.
Yes.
I haven't gone in on it yet purely because all the stuff that they offered in this was, I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to make me, I'll probably go and get it before I go on this next.
Let's talk about this again. Let's kind of finish wrapping up what's in the first. So the other thing in there is a whole bunch of new armor that is kind of all themed around
old Zelda
previous
games,
Zelda games.
Yeah, it's all hidden in different places. So you get a little bit of like, oh, where is it?
I mean, that's the thing I found kind of cool. That's what I spent most of my time doing was hunting for that. So I kind of I didn't know how they were going to do that, whether you would just kind of add the DLC, turn the game on, and then you just have all this stuff in your inventory.
Or it's in the shop somewhere.
You hear a thing. You have to go and kind of find a book where someone has written about how they have hidden it across, and you get these kind of little clues. And again, I think it's kind of a nice – it's a very Nintendo way of doing it, and I think it's kind of a nice way of doing it where, assuming that you've finished it and not really played it for a little while, it just kind of gets you back out and exploring these different areas. It's even down to the nice little touch of like the book – when you find the book that tells you where all the stuff is, as you open it, there's a bit of text where you go – has this always been here? Which is kind of just a nice little acknowledging thing of
it's
like
– written by a character you met previously and that sort of stuff. And then there's that other thing of like going into the map and you can retrace your steps.
Yeah. So the Hero's Path mode, which is, I think, for something that – like adding it in, what is it now, 4 months after people got this game?
Something like that.
I think is a brilliant addition. Mm. And I think it's a brilliant addition to add it on – this long after people have been playing the game. Because I was starting to feel like, oh, yeah, I've seen everything in this game. And then I turned it on and there's these huge chunks where I've been around the perimeter of.
So it traces what you've already done in the game.
It's your footstep. Yeah. It's your complete path around the game.
See, I thought it just started from when you
I kind of thought that as well. No, yeah.
So it goes really slowly for some reason. That's my only problem with it is you can fast forward and rewind it, but only at a set pace and it's really slow.
Basically you can just turn it on and it just basically when you're on the map, you hit a button and then this
It shows
screen,
you everything.
Yeah, it shows you everything. You can easily go, oh, well, there's a big gap in there where I haven't seen
it. You can see the whole thing from like a bird's eye view, but
you can go back to the start and play it and it will
it'll show you every time
you've died as well.
Wow.
So you can play it at 3 speeds, the fastest of which I think is pretty fast still.
Covering like however many fucking dozen hours you play this game, it just takes a while still.
Yeah. But I think that's a cool...
It's just weird that you can't scrub it like a YouTube video or whatever and just go to
where
I think you can, can't you?
I couldn't figure out how to do that. Maybe it's a Wii U thing.
I
doubt that it is because they're the same thing. But
I feel like I did it. I reckon you can do it.
I reckon you're one of those kids who lies about nude cheats, mate.
I reckon my uncle works for Nintendo.
Yeah, okay.
That's fucking sold me on it. I'm going to get it when I get home.
Yeah. It is pretty amazing.
That is
It'll kind of go... And then when you die, you hear the noise that he makes. It goes... And it so watching it kind of like... The double speed and the bits where you died again and again and again. Oh, fuck, because you could, and then you just like there, and you're sitting there, you're just going, yeah, man, I'm a real shit cunt. Like, this is
cool that you, as it happens, you do kind of go, oh, fuck, I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember what I was doing there. I remember why that happened. And that is actually really nice to see.
I think that was a genius move to withhold that. I mean, even if they'd built it into the game and just it only unlocks after a certain amount of hours, you would kind of squander it if you had it day one. But like I said, the experience, and I knew it was coming. I was like, I cannot wait to see what big chunks of this I just haven't gone near. And there's like 4 big regions that are just, I've gone right around the perimeter of them. And so I just... First thing I did went straight down there and was like, okay, I'm going to cut my way right across through this center and just walking through these new bits. So it's like, fuck, I don't know that I ever would have found that this was here otherwise. Mm. Like, I think that's a really cool feature. The second one that all they have said, what have they? They've said it's going to be
a new part
story.
Of the map, a new story.
Yeah, I don't know if they've even said new part of the map.
Oh, really?
I thought they had.
New dungeon. And they've said story.
Right.
So, and like, not a new region thing, but it'll probably be one more animal that shows up or something.
Okay.
And it sounds like it's going to be in the past.
Yeah, so it's all based around the 4 champions.
Yeah.
Which
I
mean, I know people talk about how the story in this is quote-unquote weak, but I think that is such...
Like, I love this game. The story is weak.
Yeah.
I just think that's such a great setup. Like, a story doesn't need to have a ton going on. I just think this... This dynamic of these these four others who kind of died trying to take out this thing and this evil, and you know, their spirits kind of like guiding you through the beast, and then when you beat the beast, them kind of talking to you and giving you messages to pass.
Honestly,
I reckon that stuff is great.
It's a story structure. It's not a story.
And I really like the individual little beats of it, and I'm looking forward to doing more stuff with them and being able to use a different language, like have Spanish voice acting or whatever, because hated the English voice actors for those things. I don't know if you ever found that, Mark, but like Zelda especially, and was just like this real, just a lot of the acting in that was really weirdly bad.
Well, subs, not dubs.
Yeah, it was like, because it's the first Zelda game where they've actually used voice acting.
But it's not the first game they've ever done voice acting in the world.
No, no, like, but I remember that really...
You were having to figure it out from the get-go.
For me, it was just like a surprise. I was like, I'm hearing her voice. I've never heard that before.
Well, I'd done three of the four divine beasts, and
why does she sound like a child reading?
She's real posh in English. Yeah. I don't know, it's a bit...
And all of them, and it wasn't just... It was pretty much all of them where like there was just a weird
Daruk. I don't mind. Daruk, I didn't mind his voice acting. But I'd done three of them, and then the patch came out where you could have it in the Japanese.
Yeah.
And so I put it into Japanese, and then I went and did the Divine Beast where it's Rico, the bird guy.
Yep.
And so because all my memories of the rest of it are in English, it just, to me, in my experience of the game, it just seems like Rico's this weirdo who just talks Japanese to you.
Yeah.
This one bird who's Japanese.
It's one Japanese bird.
Yeah.
Sounds like when I'm on tour, mate.
Oh, fuck.
That sounds a lot like when I'm on tour.
All right. I'm going to turn his mic off. I don't know. It's interesting to predict what the next given that they've said it'll be about the champions.
Yeah.
This is probably an insane theory. I have a theory that you're going to play as the champions.
I was about to say, that would be so cool. If that was the case.
I think maybe it's, you playing as them back when they were trying to take on Ganon. Yeah. But I think if it was a flash, I think the interesting thing would be if you go back and it's about, you know, what happened 100 years ago, that's kind of very interesting to play, you know, knowing what happened, like, you know that you can't win. Like,
Seeing, like, how Link died. You know, was defeated.
Yeah,
it could be really interesting. Yeah, because I do agree that the story, as much as it's fine, it is. There's not a lot of story, and it's like, but it doesn't bother me because the game's so good.
Yeah,
you know? You know, it's kind of like, it's maybe an opportunity that they missed, but
there's as much story as I need. Like, it's fine.
That's right. It's fine. It's super simple.
Yeah. The way I approach it, and I've said this on the show before, is that, like, me, like, I always feel like when you're playing the game, that's the story. So I'm on this. This is the setup, is that, you know, that you've been frozen and there's these guys who, they all fell.
Tell me the story about Link again, Dad.
Well, he slipped down that rock for half an hour.
How long? Jesus, this is going to take a while.
But, you know, the bit of him, if this was a movie, you know, him doing sand seal racing and stuff. You know, that'd be, that's part of a story. Like,
oh, no, for sure. I would like to see, if it is in the, I kind of would like to have seen something set after the end. Where, like, people rebuilding and shit, that would have been kind of nice.
But I mean, the fact that they're kind of hype, they're really, you know, in that reveal thing at E3, they really made a big thing of, like, it's about the champions.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of interesting to speculate. What does that really mean?
If you get
mean?
To play as, like, the four of them in the one dungeon and, like, swapping between them.
Oh, doing, baby.
Like, sort of puzzles that involve you being all four at the same time.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That would be cool. Like, very
something
cool.
Like that would be amazing, yeah.
It'd be great to play as Zelda as well. Like, that would be super cool.
Yeah.
I just, I guess what I'm saying is I want more of the open world stuff, which I don't think that's going to be.
Yeah.
That'll be a fucking sequel or whatever.
It would be cool to see the map. I mean, I still, even though I'm still loving it, I still keep going back to, getting it, you know, not knowing anything about it, and the point where I was going around just trying to get all the towers and fill out the whole map.
Yep.
And that feeling, and I was, again, it's like the same feeling I have about Ganon. I was kind of scared to go and get that last tower because I was like, oh, well, now there's, at the time I thought, well, now there's nothing left to explore.
There's no more world left to conquer.
But which is not the case at all, but, you know, so to be let, like, just, I would love it, just a whole, even if it's half the size, just a new region where it's like, don't know what's there.
My favorite things in the game are the villages, like the design, the like the cultural, like the art styles. It's like, I'd love another village. Like,
I'd like to go see them just being like, oh, thank fuck Ganon's gone. Now we can build a bloody supermarket down here and have the villages change a bit.
Yeah, put an Aldi in.
Or even because I got
a little.
I went into the desert and I kind of went like down as far as I could to just see what happened. And I like further, like up the top of the map, I know there's, you know, there's cliff face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a cliff on the other side that you just cannot get up.
There's a point where it'll just say to you, hey, well, this you is what can't. I'm about to,
yeah. It, but I was in the desert just walking and it just goes, you can't go any further. And I was like, oh, it's a bit of a shame that there's not some. More organically,
they should pass out or something and wake up in the village, and they're like, "You passed out in the desert, you idiot."
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, yeah. The fact that there's not a big ant, like especially in the desert, makes me think. Well, is that the part that they're, you know, they've left that?
Yeah,
they haven't put a cliff face there because they maybe that's where the plan is to expand out from there. And
yeah,
I would be very surprised if they expanded
it's,
on it.
Yeah, like it's also just a happy design decision to be like, you can't go further in the desert. Sorry.
Yeah. But it is jarring where it's like everything else is so kind of
concrete.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's got a stamina. He can only run for a certain amount of time. He can, you know, you've got to eat to survive, and your weapons break.
Yep. Yeah.
But and then all of a sudden, you just can't walk anymore because of fucking. A box of text just appeared above
in
your head.
100 years, why didn't they go, should we try and climb those cliffs and get away from Ganon?
Yeah.
I do. I do. I've been thinking about how I love the construct of the slate and how it justifies all the very video gamey stuff that's in it for something that's trying to be very natural and very realistic.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Even scanning Amiibo, in which I've become such a fiend for, the fact that that's one of the runes on the slate, and they just, I mean, it's already, you know, the fact that that justifies the fast travel and it justifies all the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's this weird supernatural thing, so it does make sense. You know, chests falling from the sky... just kind of fits in with all the rest
from the sky
of
sounds like when I'm on tour, mate.
Oh,
that sounds a lot like when I'm on tour.
So that's three times.
Three.
Now.
Yeah.
That, nine.
That was meant to
well
be...
because the comic three promises that it won't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I wouldn't want to subvert any comedic tropes. Who would do that in a comedy group?
Ouch.
We've.
You just let it sit for a bit. That hurts.
Just let it simmer.
Yeah.
We've hit just over an hour. Is there more that we want to?
Yeah. Should we cover maybe briefly some games we played recently?
Sure.
Mark and I, we've both played Hitman, the new Hitman.
Yeah, because it's like $33 on PlayStation for PlayStation Plus members at the moment or something.
Yep.
I've been loving it.
Yeah.
I've been loving it purely because. The last, you know, like I spoke about last time when I was on, like how much I loved Hitman and how nostalgic I am about that game. And then I had a PlayStation 3, someone handed me down, and I went, I'll buy the new Hitman game that came out a little while ago. And I brought Absolution and I fucking hated it.
Yep.
I thought it was awful. Mm-hmm. And this is just return to form, baby, like super standard, just fucking Hitman.
Yeah.
What it is feels like playing number one.
Exactly. That was my point. Was like what my point was going to be because you just made it before I could.
Yeah.
So rude.
So repeat Mark's point, please.
It's and we've talked about this with other games where it's like the feeling of playing the original in your memory. What your idealized version of that original one is.
Yeah.
That's exactly how this plays.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
That's cool.
I'm glad they're getting it. They own that now as well, right?
Yes.
That studio. Because they just fuck around. Did you see any of that?
No.
We didn't talk about this yet. We talked about when they lost the...
IO Interactive, who make it, ended up getting sold by...
Was it Square?
Square Enix. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was people going like, oh, well, fuck, that's it.
Yeah, Hitman's done. Sorry. Yeah.
But
they
own Hitman now, so they're just independent.
They bought out their own license.
Right. Looking for someone... to publish it or something, but basically it means that there'll be a season two or whatever or a second one. So it's all.
Oh, so that happened while...
Yeah, that would have happened while you were away, I guess. That's why you weren't looking at it. But
shit.
It happened after this first season came out, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's fucking great. Like, it is that ultimate thing of, like, you plunked down, there's a target, there's a scenario, a building, a series of buildings, and you just got to get to the target, kill them, and get out without being noticed. And yeah. It's however you want to do it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and then there's like a whole bunch of extra stuff where you can play in the same big sandbox map but have to kill different people.
Yes.
Like, so there's a lot of replay value, not only in the main missions, but then they throw other targets on top of that in the same world. So there's a lot of replay in it.
Yeah,
I like it. It's super cool.
Silly. Yeah, it has a sense of humor to it as well.
Totally. Well, it has like the challenges, like, you know, with trophies and achievements. It's like, I'll do this in this funny way. Get six of this. It throws up all these challenges.
Like there's one that's set in a hotel where one of the challenges is you have to kill five targets with an axe, and every single target has to be found as well. So the bodies have to be found. And it's called like Red Rum or something.
It's like a
whole Shining thing. Like every challenge is based around the Shining.
Hey, listen, Michael, you're not going to believe it. Yeah, again, a fourth one. Yeah. No, that'll be it. If it's more than four, that'll be crazy.
I mean, the game is silly and you have to suspend your belief a little bit because there's some stupid stuff that happens in it.
But that's great.
And some bullshit as well where it's like, how did... You didn't fuck... There's no way you fucking saw me do that. But it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. but it's I'm amazed at how much I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like it really feels like I'm like, fuck, I'm back to that fucking game. I love.
Tell me that, because it's like it's seasons.
Well, this one is,
It was called season one, and it was just like six episodes that they released.
Yeah, so over a year they released, it was like you just got a map at a time. You got a level.
Right. Because
at a
I have
time.
To say, I hadn't gone in because I'd never played the originals, and I thought just based on that it was another one of these kind of Telltale-y kind of things.
No,
which
not at
I've
all.
Not
no.
ever loved. Okay, so now that you
it's
guys talking
that.
About it is making me go, oh, well, I better check this out. That sounds really cool.
It kind of sounded like at the time, like they just were kind of like finishing it as they were releasing it. So they were like, oh, we finished the first mission, we're releasing that. Get some money, fund the development.
That's That's a great format. I love that idea.
Well, the fact that it turned out great, it means it is great. But it very well could have been shit.
Awful,
At the time, it wasn't going to be that as well. I remember this was like a year and a bit ago or whatever. And it was a couple months before they released it. They're like, oh, we're changing it. Anyone who's pre-ordered it, we're giving you a refund. And it's going to be this now.
Yep.
Bye. And everyone's like, oh, well, they're fucking this. It was a weird press release.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have written bye at the end.
No, but it turned out really good.
It turned out really good. Yeah.
And the one other thing I've been playing that I wanted to talk about is Friday the 13th.
Yes,
which is super fun, right? Okay. So I'd never played it before. I hadn't even heard about it. I didn't know what it was, and
We talked about there was like a trailer that came out for this at the start of the year, and talked about it, and I thought it looked cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think you guys didn't, and then I have not really heard anything about it since it came out.
Yeah. Right.
Well, like we. I was over at a friend's house who is a big time listener of this podcast, by the way. So a big shout out to Brent Sprackle.
Hey, Brent.
What's up, Sprackle man? Sorry, now we won't listen again.
No, that's fine. He's a big time listener, big time fan of this. We're over at his house. We had this was so cool. I loved this so much. I felt like I was like fucking 15 again.
Brent gave me a blowjob.
He's married and he has children.
So married dudes can still give blowjobs.
He's not married actually. Oh. So there is that.
Oh, boy.
But he does have children out of wedlock.
Stop listening, Brent.
get your kids into this, Brent.
Yeah, bring them in. But we had three TVs set up, all with like PlayStations.
Nice,
right? And we were just playing like that, and then with other people, and it was so much fun. The game is super buggy, right? Like it's obviously. I think it's just like an indie developer and stuff.
So this is you can just play as. The killer, or you can play as the kids.
So you randomly, you're put into a map. There's like four maps, right? And then things are sort of randomly generated around the map, which are like where a car is and where a bunch of different cabins are. And you're either a counselor or you're Jason,
right?
And when you're Jason, you've got a bunch of powers that sort of unlock as the game goes on. And all you have to do is survive for 20 minutes or escape in one of the many ways. So you can escape through the car, but you have to find... the gasoline and you have to find the battery and you have to put it all together. And so you might...
cars are always just taken apart.
Yeah, it's just like... And it's strewn across. And there's a boat and
like
you need to find...
Mr. Bean's car. Yeah.
The propeller's missing from the boat.
Yeah. Like, you don't drive,
who takes the propeller off and puts it somewhere else?
No, we might need it.
Adam, you don't drive, but I do keep a big tank of gasoline just sitting in my bedroom for when I'm ready to go off and start driving.
I've always wondered what that is there for.
Yes.
Yeah. Told me it was for chroming.
So there's embarrassed.
There's heaps of cool stuff you can do, and playing as Jason is a real thrill. Mm. And like I said, it's super buggy and the controls are pretty clunky at times, but it's clearly made by people who fucking love that movie and love that aesthetic, and it just really shines through, and it's really fun to play.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's
strikes me as such a cool idea, this kind of like fanfic thing of like this big pop culture thing that came out such a long time ago.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like the thing of it really, it seems to me like the sort of thing where, seeing that at the time and a discussion where you'd go, oh, imagine a game about this, and this is what it would be and stuff. Yeah. I love when that kind of stuff comes through. Mm. And there's it doesn't quite happen enough. Like,
yeah, massively. And it's just one of those rare games where it's just like it's just all about playing with your friends, and it's so much fun.
That's
just
cool.
Getting a group
Does
of people
rely
together.
Any on having the like sort of nostalgia for Friday? Because I've only seen
I hate horror movies.
Very bad.
Yeah. I don't watch horror movies. They scare me. I don't like them. Yeah. I've never seen Friday the 13th.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen it. Don't give a shit about those movies and have no nostalgia for it. It's just fun, man.
Yeah.
And what's it on? Is it on?
It's on everything, like not Switch, I guess, but everything else.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's PlayStation. I think it's Xbox and PC.
I think so.
I thought it was just PC for some reason.
Broken too, I feel like, and they've been patching it since then.
I'd heard that it got bad reviews, which is why I hadn't got it yet.
I haven't really.
There's really shitty things that happen where you can glitch into the game and, like, as a counselor, hide in certain areas of the map where Jason can't get to you because you literally like crouch through a wall and shit. And so people keep doing that. But then the great thing is that when you play with friends is when you see someone do that, you glitch into the room and then you all attack them and kill them and tell them to get fucked. Especially when one person's Jason, so then you start working with Jason to kill the glitches.
Fuck. Right, right.
Oh, man.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's a bit... It's still like $55 or like $60, so the price is a little hard to justify with how unpolished the game is. But if they keep fixing it and keep working on it, it's such a fun concept.
It seems like it'll be one of those things where like in a year's time, price drop and it's all kind of patched and fixed, people go, hey, fucking...
Oh, yeah.
I reckon the same thing's going to happen with NBA Playgrounds, which I got day one on the Switch and was good, but... has had a lot of issues that they've kind of gradually been working towards and adding more players in. And they added in a thing where you can play as famous YouTubers. Did you see this?
Well, now I'm not going to get it.
Did you see that?
No. Yeah. I did not hear that was happening.
For like famous YouTubers.
I was just at VidCon, so that is very funny. Right.
Can you play as Mark?
We get Mark in there.
Yeah. Oh, man. VidCon is like
Jontron, and he won't play with any of the black players.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so what you were just at like a... We'll close out on this. You were at a gathering of...
VidCon is
Juggalos,
like...
Right?
It's like PAX, but for YouTube. YouTubers, right? And it's just the worst. And I tried to say that I was like, it's different. It's different to Comic-Con or PAX, and some people disagreed with me, but it really feels like it is because it's just this vapid, it's just fucking 12-year-old girls everywhere screaming and running around.
Sounds like when I'm on tour. Oh,
goodness. There it is, the comedic fourth.
The suicide rule of four.
I really liked that one. I'm going to be honest. That
was
my favorite.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You should have kept your powder dry for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But
what was it, smashing crates? That was a long bow. You should have left that one alone.
You got to build them up. They can't all be winners. Only the last one by chance. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, like it was just awful, and it just felt like a big ad for YouTube Red that clearly no one is subscribing to.
What is YouTube Red? YouTube Red. Up on my phone. I don't want it.
YouTube Red is fucking Netflix, but made by YouTubers. Right. So you can watch it for free.
You feel like there's nothing to watch on Netflix.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, and I highly recommend this to anyone that likes to like upset themselves and has too much spare time, mm-hmm. like I do. But there's a Netflix show, a YouTube Red show mm-hmm. called Escape the Night. Right.
Oh okay. yeah, I've heard about this.
Yeah, right.
Just wait until season morning.
Season two is
goes for about 8 hours.
Well, it's this. I can't even explain to you what this show is, but it's like a half hour dramedy, I think, and all the actors in it are just YouTube celebrities who all have like over 1 million subscribers each, and it is. It's the most fucked thing you'll ever see. You can watch episode one of season two for free.
Great.
Without paying.
Oh, that's good.
And there were just posters for it everywhere in VidCon.
Let me try and guess who's in it. Markiplier?
I don't know.
PewDiePie?
I don't know.
That one who is, it's just his name and he literally just hangs out in his office, but he calls it, oh man, it's like, his name's just like John Graham. He's just a fucking dude.
He's probably in it. I didn't recognize any of them. I don't know. I didn't know who any of these fucking people were, yeah. man.
I just looked over at Tommy and shook my head slowly. Have the information. Something to the table.
Someone will be able to tell me who he is. And the reason I can't remember his name is because it's just like, my name's Dylan Scrang. And he calls everyone like Scrangiacs or something.
How do you not remember that?
I'm going to look him up. It's not Dylan Scrang. Name and don't take it. If I can get this name by the end of the podcast, I'll say it. If I can't, then
Well,
I think we'd better wrap it up.
Fair enough.
Mark Bonanno, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
So Auntie Donna are about to go back on tour in the States. No, I'm in Edinburgh.
Yeah. So we're in New York. Then we're doing Just for Laughs. Mm-hmm. And we miss each other, unfortunately.
Yes.
We're there at different times. And then we do Edinburgh and London.
Great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
AuntieDonna.com?
Sure. Why not?
Is that your website or not?
I don't know.
Just Google them. Just Google them.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got our website, filthycasuals.com.au, where you can find all our social media stuff. Send us an email. We always love reading those.
Yeah.
Let us know what you've been playing. Let us know stuff you want us to talk about. We don't have anything. I'm going to be in Montreal, New York, and LA. We're not doing any of this, but if you live there and you want to play me at Splatoon 2, that'll be out at the time.
Oh, baby.
Is that coming out soon?
Yeah, that's out in like two and a half weeks. July 21.
Oh, baby. And I can buy that anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And as we say at the end, here at the end of
go Adam, you can do it. I believe in you.
Episode of Filthy Casuals :
I've got another option. Oh wait, have you already finished? Fuck. All right, Vegeta 777. That's also pretty funny.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.